All right, I filmed the intro for this and didn't have a microphone on, so I guess we're filming it again. I don't, or I'm using the other. I don't fucking know. Whatever. All I know is tonight's gonna get a little heated, okay? There's probably gonna be some controversial shit that flies out of my mouth. I'm a little bit on a rant and raving around my house, half talking to myself kind of situation. I was in the middle of cooking, and I'm like, turn the fucking podcast on, okay? So I'm gonna say some things people aren't gonna agree with, people are not gonna like, they don't want you to hear, they don't want me to say. And I don't really give a fuck. So if you don't like it, there's an X button, there's a delete, there's a block, there's an exit stage left button somewhere. Okay, you can fight with me in the comments about it. Whatever, however you want to do, this is it, okay? This is how I feel, this is what I'm saying, and I'm saying it. And if you don't like it, goodbye. I told you I was going to get a little heated. Apologize if you started off a little aggressive. Anyways, sorry, not sorry. Listen, I'm in a mood. It's full moon, okay? Yeah, just... anyway. Hello, bitches! I've been MIA because, well, I'm going to tell the story. So you'll know why I've been MIA. If you've, you know, been following along on Instagram, you know, I was trapped in the hospital again and... there's a whole tooth surgery fucking thing in my mouth. It's just, I couldn't talk. It was, and I was, I'm going to tell you the story. So we're a little late. So the topic of this episode, which is officially episode 3. So I'm doing 2 episodes this week because I'm making up for the missing one. So this is officially episode 3. It was going to be on a totally different topic, but then I got put back in the hospital again. So you're going to hear that story. And then I wanted to do something else, and then it turned into, it keeps evolving on what the topic was going to be. And like I said, I was just in the kitchen cooking and ranting and raving, and I decided to turn the camera on, and I'll go back to cooking after. So, this is episode 3 of The Witch Bitch is Sick. And she's sick of a lot of shit right now. So, it's full moon, I'm all hot and bothered, so just, who knows what's going to fly out of my mouth. I don't even know where to begin. Like, I do not even know where to begin. Should I begin on why I'm ranting and raving? I wanted to say something else, and now I can't remember what the fuck I wanted to say. She don't know. Whatever. Let's talk about why I'm ranting and raving, and then we'll go back into the whole hospital crap. So, let's talk about why I'm ranting and raving, and then we'll get into the whole new hospital situation. I hate the whole medical system. Hate it. Like, I don't agree with none of it. I don't agree with it. I believe that the whole Western medicine system is set up to keep you sick and make you sicker. And that's whether you think the same as me or you disagree with that statement, that's how I feel. It's from my experience, the experience that I've seen others go through. I believe all Western medicine is just to keep you sick. And it's just, you know, big pharma just trying to make their money because that's where the money is. The money is keeping people sick. So that's how they make their money. They're not going to make money if people are better and don't need medication. So they're not going to cure you. They're going to, you know, keep you well enough to stay, you know, breathing, or they can just keep shoving more medication down your throat. But then, you know, death is also a really big industry as well. So they make money there too. So either way, they're making their money, and that's what it's all about. And listen, I'm not saying that every doctor out there, you know, is like this or this or the, okay. But the doctors, the hospitals, the medical system, this pharmaceutical company, they're all money hungry. They're all after money. It's all business to them. And that's what it is. You're a number and you're a business. And the amount of times that doctors have come in and out of my room and don't even know my name, haven't even read my chart, okay, just goes to show you how much they give a fuck. They don't. Like I said, not all doctors, not all nurses, not everybody, okay? But majority, it's the reality of it. If you are dealing with being in the medical system the way I am, and having to deal as the patient, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's all money making. It's all money making, and they just try to force pills and medications on you. And I ain't having it. So So what I was just specifically ranting on, and I went on my Instagram story and was just bitching on there. So when you're diagnosed with liver cirrhosis, they try to put you on something called lactulose. It's like this gross fucking drink that you're supposed to drink, and it's supposed to bind to your toxins inside of your body and make you poop a lot, and you're supposed to poop out all the toxins. Because apparently when you get liver cirrhosis, you know, you lose your memory, you get brain fog, you know, you lose your wits, you know, you're not really with the program, you're confused. All of this stuff is supposed to happen with as liver cirrhosis progresses. So they automatically will put you on this lactulose shit, like, straight out the gate. And they tried to do it with me, and I am an avid refuser of medication. And they don't like that, but whatever, it's my body, it's my choice. And if I don't feel I need to take a medication, I'm not going to take something just to take it because the doctor told me I had to take it. I don't like putting foreign substances in my body. I don't like just putting more medication than I don't take things that, like, I don't need some, like, I just, I barely even take a fucking Tylenol. Like, especially with my liver, your liver has to process and break down all of these medications. So by adding more medications into your system on top of a liver that's already struggling, why am I giving my liver more work when I don't need it? I'm not confused. I don't have brain fog. I know my fucking name. I have all my wits. Why am I taking a medication to stop that when I don't have those symptoms? Oh, it's a preventative. No, I'm not just taking something because maybe this will happen to me. It's unnecessary. It's putting more stress on my liver because it's another thing my liver has to break down and process. And it can't break down and process what it already is trying to break down and process. That's why we're in this mess as it is. So I'm not doing it. I'm not taking it. I'm just not. I refuse it. I won't take it. And it's my right as a patient to refuse anything that they tried to give me. Whether that's being uncooperative, whatever they want to call it. I don't care. If I don't want it in my body, it's not going in. Okay? Just like I never got that fucking stupid vaccine. Okay? You got it? Whatever. I don't agree with it. I don't think that it... I think it was a bunch of horse shit, and I think it was poisoning people. So I don't want the poison in my body. I don't know what's in it. You don't know the effects of it in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. You don't know. I don't know. I don't want it in me. Sorry. And guess what? I've never gotten COVID. Never diagnosed. Not positive. Not fucking once. Okay? And I have all the natural antibodies, apparently. Don't know how. But so, sorry. I don't want it. Don't need it. If you have it, it's great for you. That's your decision. My decision, not doing it. My decision, not taking this fucking lactulose shit. So when my levels are really bad, obviously they have come down because, like, you know, I'll get more into that in a minute. But I have brought my levels down, okay? Me. Things that I've been doing. And nothing that, you know, the doctors have been doing. It's me. Lexi has been fixing this. And I told them, I am determined to fix this liver. I'm not getting a transplant. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, everyone's pushing the transplant. Everyone's like, you need a transplant. You need a transplant. Of course you want me to get a transplant. It's $1 million surgery. It's $1 million in the hospital's pocket. Why would you not want me to get a liver transplant? I don't think I need a liver transplant because I am more than capable of fixing this. And I've proven myself in 6 months what I can do when I set my fucking mind to it. And I don't want a liver transplant. I don't want it. Listen, if it was an emergency and I absolutely needed it to stay alive, fine. But I'm fighting this and I'm fixing the liver that's in me. And I am determined and no one is going to fucking stop me or tell me otherwise. Whether you think that's delusional or not, my blood work, you know, proves otherwise. So they keep saying they don't understand how someone with my levels that were that high is not confused. Like, they're like, you sure you're not confused? You sure you don't have any, you know, the brain fog, this, nothing like that. They're like, patients with these levels, they always have some sort of, you know, brain function. Like, they're like, we don't understand how you're not, you know, losing your marbles. I'm like, because I'm not taking the medication. So tell me how all of your patients that are losing their marbles and on the medication to stop losing their marbles, they all have the brain fog and they all have the confusion, and you just keep pumping them up with more lactulose, because the more you get confused and the more you know, you lose your brain function the more of this medication they give you. So all of your patients who have high liver levels, and you're telling them it's their liver that are doing it, and you just keep pumping them up with this medication, they're all confused. Meanwhile, the only one who's not on the meds and has their brain is me. So, sounds to me like your little medication is causing your fucking brain issues and not the liver cirrhosis. So that's my little thing of the night that I was ranting and raving about. Like, did anybody ever think about that? I was like, did anybody ever study this fucking medication and see if that's what's actually causing the brain fog and the confusion? Because all your other patients are on it and confused, and I'm not on it, and I am far from fucking confused. I'm a little wackadoo, but I am not confused. I have every fucking brain cell and then some, and more than most other people. If more than most of these fucking doctors and fucking people I deal with in the hospital, let me tell you. I had a fucking doctor come in when I was just in the hospital, sit down in front of me, and not know I had liver cirrhosis. Had no idea why I was in the hospital. Like, and I had to explain to him, it just, when I have to explain something to a medical professional, why? I don't have the degree. I didn't go to school. You should know this. Why do I have to tell you this? But that's what it is. They work off of a textbook. And not everybody's a textbook kid. I'm literally just ranting on everything at this point because all of these are topics that I want to hit and I'm just spewing everything right now. So anyways, galactulose. That's just what I said. Anybody look to see what effect galactulose is actually doing? Because anyone who's on it seems to have the brain confusion and I'm not on it and I'm not confused at all. So that's that. So your patients that are taking your medication are getting sicker and the one that's not taking your meds is getting better. So you tell me how that works. I'll wait. You explain that to me. I am very, very, very picky with what I let them put in my system. Any medicines that they try to give me, whether it be in the hospital or prescribe in the office or anything, I do not just blindly take things. I sit there and I research and I research and I research and I look at drug interactions and what other things that I could possibly take or have taken, how the symptoms cross over, how it affects one organ and that organ affects another. I do my fucking research before anything gets put inside of my body. And I refuse a lot of stuff. And I don't care if that's frowned upon. I'm not putting things in my body that I believe are poison. I'm not poisoning my body. I'm not doing it. Sorry, you can keep poisoning everybody else if they'd want to continuously just get fucking poisoned. But I ain't letting you poison me. Everybody just blindly follows what they say. Like I said, with the vaccines. And the minute you're born, they want to shove a million fucking vaccines in you. You can't even give consent on whether or not you want the goddamn fucking thing in you. And they're shoving fucking the newborn babies, pop it out, boom, shoot them up with fucking poison. Like, I just cannot. So, that, now everybody's on, you know, Mounjaro and Ozempic and all this other crap. You're going to lose weight. Let's put the poison in you so you could, here you go. So everybody's just like, oh, I'm going to lose weight. So they're just letting them shoot them up. People will just put anything in their bodies. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I just, No. That's like, I don't mean, when I go to the hospital and it's like for pain or like surgeries and shit, like I wait and I hold the fuck out to ask for any sort of medication. And it's like, they're always like, oh, like, what's your pain level? And I'm always like, 4,000. And they're like, 1 to 10. I'm like, no, it's at a 4,000. And they're like, you can't always be at a 4,000. Like, why are you always in pain? I said, because I don't ask you for medication unless I'm at that point where I can't fucking take it anymore. Because I don't like putting medicine in my body. I don't like taking pills. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. So I will literally fight the pain until the last second where I can't take it anymore. Everyone's like, oh, you don't need to be a hero. This, that. No, it's not me trying to be a hero. It's my liver cannot handle anything. Okay. It doesn't need more stress on it. And I don't know what that pill is going to do to me. I don't know what that fucking shot is going to do to me. I don't know what that fucking eye. I don't know what these things are going to do to me. I don't want it. I don't want it. No one ever has to worry about me getting hooked on fucking pain medication because I don't even want to take fucking Tylenol. Oh, and that's, I had a lot of people comment who are, you know, fellow spoonies, you know, their chronic illnesses saying that this is another whole topic, and this could literally be another whole fucking episode about, you know, how when they ask for pain meds, you know, they get judged, and, you know, because they're always in so much pain, but you don't actually see it because, you know, most of our diseases are invisible. Like, if you look straight at me and, you know, didn't know anything about me, you wouldn't think that my body is in the turmoil that it's in. Like, people don't know that I'm in pain 99.9% of the time. Like, it's just because I handle it. Like, I just deal with it. And it's like, people get judged for constantly, like, being in pain or asking for the medication to help them through it. And they get stereotyped into, oh, they're a drug addict. They're pill poppers. They're just pain pill seekers. Or, you know, I'm judged and stereotyped as the fucking alcoholic because she has liver cirrhosis. Any type of a liver disease, automatically, you're an alcoholic. It's like, it's, you're just, oh, everybody likes to just, like, fucking put you in this little, like, stereotypical, like, little fucking bubble that they read up in their textbook. The textbook. Throw the textbook out the fucking window. Not everything is textbook, okay? Everybody's body is different. Everybody's body chemistry is different. Like, everyone works differently. You can't just go off of the one thing that, like, they teach you in school. Like, you have to be able to, you know, navigate outside the lines here. It's why so many people are undiagnosed for so long. It's because, and not given the right treatment. And it's because these doctors, they're just so fucking, like, tunnel vision. And it's like, if you don't follow and fall exactly into what their textbook told you is, this disease means this and this disease means that, it's, they automatically discard it and they just, like, throw it in the trash and they're like, nope, it's not that because you don't have X, Y, and Z or this, this, and this. And it doesn't work like that. Everyone is different and you have to look at everybody's individual case and everyone's individual body to treat them. And they just don't do it. So example, and I'm not going to say her name because not my business to tell, but if she wants to chime down in the comments, which she probably will, a friend of mine that we haven't met in person, an internet friend of mine, you know, lives halfway across the country. I've never actually met her in person. She recently, you know, a couple of months ago, had the gastric sleeve surgery like I did, and she's been in and out of the hospitals for the past, you know, couple of weeks, and nobody knows what's wrong with her. And, like, she's in all this pain, and they keep telling her it's pancreatitis. And they're just like, it's pancreatitis. And then, you know, they give her some meds, and they send her home, and then it's happening again, and she's back in the hospital. And nobody's getting to the root of the problem. They're just telling her it's pancreatitis, and they treat it, you know, momentarily. They put their stupid little fucking Band-Aid on it, whatever they do. They give you pain meds, and they calm you fucking down, and then they send you home. And then she comes back, and she's in the hospital again. So I told her to give me her blood work. I'm like, show me your blood work. Show me your charts. Show me your results. Like, tell me what the fuck is going on. So I looked at all of her charts. I looked at all of her stuff. She told me where the pain was coming from. I told her to give me, like, any results like her doctors had. And I'm like, take your gallbladder out. And she's like, what? I go, tell them to cut out your gallbladder and call it a day and you'll be just fine. So she brings it up to them. The doctor tells her, no, it has nothing to do with your gallbladder. I said, yes, tell your doctor it's your fucking gallbladder and your gallbladder needs to come out. Like, I don't care what this guy says. Your gallbladder needs to come out. Like, did he look at your labs? Because your gallbladder needs to come out. She's like, he keeps telling me no, it's pancreatitis. Everything looks fine. All of my blood work is fine. And they don't know what's causing it. Gallbladder. Now I'm getting aggravated for her. And this is why you have to be your own advocate when you have a chronic illness. You have to read up on everything. You have to learn. You have to study. You have to know more than the doctors because no one's going to fight for you like you're going to fight for you. Okay? No one is going to stand up for you the way you're going to stand up for yourself. And when I walk into those hospitals, I know what I'm talking about. And when I stand in front of those doctors, I know what I'm talking about. And I put my foot down because this is my body. And I know my body. I've lived in it for 32 fucking years. And I'm not going to let somebody that read a chart, okay, or didn't read my chart, because 90% of the time they don't, okay? I'm not letting you, who doesn't know me from a hole in the wall, who doesn't even know my name, determine what's best for me when I live in my body for the past 32 years, okay? I'm going to take your medical, you know, professional opinion into consideration. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make the decision on what we're doing with my body because it's my body and I know it best. Not you, me. So you need to learn to advocate for yourself. If you don't have a mouth on you, you need to get one real quick, or you got to find someone who's got one, because just call, send them here, because I'm going to continue this story. Just like if you listen to episode 2, I stood up for my roommate when they weren't taking care of her. I went and I advocated for her. And one of my other roommates a couple of times ago, oh, I wanted to tell you that. See, that was a funny story I wanted to tell you. I really wanted to tell you a funny story. Maybe I'll leave that. That I'm going to tell you at the end of this episode. That every time I tell it, I relive it in my head. And it wasn't funny in the moment, but it's just... Only me! Only fucking me does this shit happen to! Literal shit. Literally shit. Anyways, besides the point, my neighbor in that visit, you know, heard me talking to the doctor. She's like, how do you know so much about, you know, the medications? How do you know so much about your disease? And I said, because I make sure I know. It's my body. It's my job to know what's going on in here. And I need to get myself better because they're not getting me better. Okay. They're just trying to get their this. They're just coming in. I'm getting me better. And I'm going to know what they're giving me. And you just got to know. You have to know. You have to advocate for yourself. I cannot express that enough. You have to advocate for yourself. Or find somebody who you trust enough to do it for you. Because nobody gives a fuck about you like you give a fuck about you. End of the day. Anyways, I digress. So, my friend in the hospital. She's like, he said my liver levels would be elevated if it was the gallbladder. He doesn't see any elevated levels. I go, where's your endoscopy? Okay, you need to check your bile ducts for sludge. She said, oh yeah, there's sludge in there. He said, that's normal. Everybody has sludge. No, it's not normal. Not everybody has sludge just hanging around in their fucking bile ducts. Okay, rapid weight loss from the sleeve surgery. Getting your gallbladder removed after any kind of weight loss surgery is very common because the rapid weight loss, okay, can cause issues in your gallbladder. It can cause your gallbladder to make gallstones. It's what happened to me. And the doctors kept telling me nothing was wrong. They couldn't find out what was wrong. They didn't know what was wrong. They don't know why. They don't know why I was in pain. They don't know why I was nauseous. They don't know why I couldn't eat. Nobody knew why, and everybody missed it. Nobody found the gallbladder. Everyone missed it. Nobody found the gallstones. Acupuncture, okay, found it. Nobody could figure out what was wrong. Nobody knew anything. Everyone missed these gallstones, okay? Nobody saw anything wrong with my gallbladder. Also, nobody saw anything wrong with my liver at that point either, which I still is, besides the point, that was 4 years ago, four years ago my gallbladder was out. Acupuncture is the one who told me, your gallbladder needs to come out. Like, you have gallstones. And when I went to the doctors with it, they double checked everything and they went, oh, holy shit. Like, yeah, you've got gallstones. Like, this has to come out. And I'm like, why did nobody see that? Why did I go through all these doctors and nobody caught that? And all of you keep telling me acupuncture is a crock of fucking shit. They're the ones that fucking caught it. Not you people. You know, sorry this is a lot of yelling in your ears in this episode because I just get very heated with this. That's why I trust my life with my acupuncturists. Those are the only ones that I trust. Like that's who I trust. I don't trust anyone else. I don't. So now I'm looking at her charts. She tells me about the sludge. I go, the sludge is not normal. Your gallbladder needs to come out. So the rapid weight loss causes the gallstones, and which can cause the sludge in your bile ducts, which causes the chronic pancreatitis, which causes all the pain and the this and the that. It's your fucking gallbladder at the end of the day is the root of the problem. So once again, he's like, no, this level would be this, this level would be that, this blah, 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 blah. So now I go and I deep dive into her blood work and I look at her baseline. Okay, your lipase levels are going to be up when you have issues with your pancreas. So her lipase levels are up and then her ALT is in a normal range. So your ALT will normally be higher. So her ALT shows up as a normal range. But if you go and look at her baseline is a lot lower than what her ALT is now. It's like, yeah, that's a normal level according to the textbook. For her body, it's not normal. So in her body, something's off because she's at a higher level than she's supposed to be. Just because your textbook tells you that that's a normal range doesn't mean it's normal for her body, okay? So just like my blood pressure, I have low blood pressure right now because of all of my shit going on. I used to have high blood pressure. I have low blood pressure. Okay. I sit at like anywhere between like a 90 to like a low 100s over, you know, 60, 70. That's where my blood pressure sits. And that's a normal blood pressure for me. Like resting blood pressure when I'm laying down, I could go down to like 80s over like high 50s, low 60s. And for most people, that would be like, okay, hello, we need to take you to a hospital. All I have to do is sit up and just like move around and my blood pressure just goes back and it stabilizes to where it likes to be. That's normal. If I'm, my blood pressure, you know, shoots up and is like a 130 over like 85, 90, there's something wrong. For, you know, that's a normal blood pressure. No, you know, nobody's going to blink an eye at that. It's a normal blood pressure. For me, that's not normal. Something's up. That's a very high blood pressure for me. Something's not right. So just because the textbook says that's a normal ALT level doesn't mean it's normal for her body. I go, you need your gallbladder out. I go, do not leave that fucking hospital until they take your gallbladder out. I go, ask for a new doctor. I go, fight with every goddamn one of them. I go, do not let them leave with that fucking gallbladder in you. So she went through a million doctors, finally gets a new doctor and explains the situation. And the new doctor was like, what did the old doctor say? Like, what? So she immediately consults the surgery team and she went for emergency fucking gallbladder surgery the next morning. Because Lexi was right. Like, I diagnosed her across the fucking country, never even met her before, and was able to just look at her blood work because I sat down and I took 5 minutes and I actually looked at her levels where she was supposed to be and then compared them to her levels where she is now, as opposed to just looking at the little, when you look at your chart and it tells you normal, normal, normal. Oh, you're normal, you're fine. No. That's not the way this needs to be done. Every patient needs to be looked at case by case. It can't, like, it's just, and they don't do it. They don't take the time to do it because they just don't. They don't. And it drives me fucking nuts that so many more people could be helped if they just took the time to sit down and look at each individual person as a different, completely different case, because everybody's completely different. No two people are the same way, and no two people should be treated the same way. I don't care if they have identical fucking diseases. They're two different people, and everyone needs to be in their own individual treatment plan. You cannot follow a textbook. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. All right. So call me Dr. Martone now because I diagnosed her and she's got no more gallbladder and she's just fine. No more pancreatitis. No more pain. Great. Very simple. All because a fucking dumbass doctor didn't want to admit he was wrong. I want to meet his ass. I cannot. So, like, me. I go for a paracentesis every week. I believe I've explained a paracentesis before. Long story short, they take... the fluid builds up from the fluid. I just put fluid... I tried to say fluid and liver, and I put them together and made a new word. Fluid builds up inside of you from your liver... That's why if I look swollen, right, like right now, I'm a blob. I look like bloated and puffy here and in my legs. It's not because I'm with child. Okay, everyone's like, are you pregnant? It's fucking liver fluid. Okay, it's called ascites. It builds up inside of you and you got to get it drained. Okay, there's two different types of fluid. There's the ones that are held in your skin, and then there's the ascites, which is the liver makes. And I've got both of them going on. But the ascites can be drained through paracentesis. So they fucking take a tube and they, you know, stab you with it in your stomach, and they drain it out. So I was getting anywhere between 3 to 6 liters taken out of me at a time. We've now moved it down to 2. And some people will come in with like 12 liters in them. They're huge. Their stomachs are like bulging. Their belly buttons are popping inside out. Like their legs are so big they can't walk. They're in wheelchairs. And it's like, I don't let my body get to that. Like, I mean, I'm not sick enough. I never let my body get that sick where it would have gotten to that point. But I don't let that much fluid accumulate inside of me. I don't. One, that's completely uncomfortable. Two, it's, I already have a small stomach. I don't have a lot of room in here. I have the tummy tuck. So my fucking skin is pulled tight. Like, I don't have a lot of room in my stomach to begin with. 2 liters of fluid is extremely uncomfortable. And it hurts and it puts pressure on my chest and I can't breathe. And it's like, I feel like I gained like 200 pounds overnight. And it's like, I'm waddling around. I'm out of breath walking up the stairs. Like, that's so not me. Like, and I can't stay like this. Like, I'm young, I'm active. I got to go to work. Like, I got to live my life. Like, and I can't stay like this. So I go every week to get this drained. And I'm not going to be that person that sits and waits for all that to accumulate. When they were making me wait till like the sixth, I was in so much pain. Like, it pulls on your back. It's pulling on your, like, I couldn't eat. Like, I wanted to throw. It's just like, it's take six giant fucking soda bottles. Okay. And just like tape them to your stomach. And then like, it's just like, it's not fun. So I go and I don't mind getting stabbed with the needle. I don't. Okay. I don't mind it. I'm covered in tattoos. I don't feel half my stomach anyway from the tummy tuck. My nerves are damaged. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. A lot of people mind getting poked in the stomach, it's, you know, with a tube. I don't. I don't even flinch. Like, I don't care. Just do it. Get the fluid out. It's like instant relief. I feel like I can breathe and I can walk again. And it's like, like, it just helps so much. And I do it every week. And there's one doctor that has done it twice to me. And I already have low blood levels. Like, I can't bleed. Like, I have low platelets. I have low white blood cells. I have low hemoglobin. Like, I'm low. So I got to watch. Like, I can't lose blood. And he doesn't. He goes very high up where he's not supposed to be stabbing. Okay. For the paras. And the two times that he has done it, I have bled excessively. Like, those little fucking wee wee pads they put on, like, bled through the whole wee wee pad. Like, where one time I was bleeding for like an hour and they couldn't stop it. Like, I had to put, you know, tape my skin closed because the blood was not stopping. And where I have, I'm gonna show you. You can wait till you see this. And don't, like I said, don't mind my pregnant fucking stomach. Okay, this not normal. This is not normal. All right, this is not what. It's not like that's, I get them every week and they do not look like that and they do not bleed. So it's only the two times that he's done it. Has this happened? And I said, I'm like, I don't want to talk bad about anybody. I said, but I don't want him doing this to me anymore. Like, I don't want it. Like, because I don't want it. He does clearly. He's not doing it right. Like, he's just not. And, you know, I love them over there. Like, you know, we're all like BFFs. I'm there once a week, you know, hanging out with them. It's just, I don't want him doing the procedure. I don't want it. He doesn't do it right. And I know, you know, nobody around there can agree with me or disagree because, you know, that's their colleague that they work with. But I'm the patient and I could tell you I don't want him to do the fucking thing anymore because you don't know what he's doing. So. That's part of why I'm bitching and complaining today is because I went to the doctor and I was supposed to get my paracentesis today because it's my day of the week and they won't do it because they said it's not safe and this concerned them. And then when you get the paracentesis, this is what I mean about like giving medication to give more medication. It's like it causes like a chain reaction. And then this leads into the whole like chain reaction of, you know, shoving medicine in you because, you know, one leads to another thing. So they do the paras and then it can affect your kidney levels because of the shift in fluid inside of your body. So then they give you this thing called albumin and then the albumin will dilute your blood. And then you got to get a blood transfusion and then it's like a vicious cycle. And so they weren't giving me the albumin the past couple of times because they're only taking out 2 liters. And normally, scientifically speaking, the textbook tells you to only give albumin at 4 liters. But it's like, if I need it for my kidney, why can't we just give it to me? Like, once again, we're going off of a textbook that says this is how you do things. But why? So aggravating. It's just so aggravating. just give me the fucking albumin with the fucking paracentesis and then well, my kidneys will be just fine. It's just, and if I need blood, I need blood. Okay. We put blood in me. It's fine. But no, they won't do it. So now I'm walking around like this and it's very uncomfortable and I can't breathe. And like, it's just, they're not living it. And as much as they tell you, oh, we understand. No, you don't understand. If you don't, I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many patients you see. If you're not living it, you don't understand what I'm feeling right now. You don't understand what I'm going through. Even another liver patient doesn't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand what they're going through. They might have a different problem. You don't understand what 2 liters of fucking fluid feels like inside of my body. It is more than just uncomfortable. Like, it's, and they're like, oh, well, if it's that bad, we could put you in the hospital. I said, what are you going to do for me in the hospital? But tell me what you're going to do for me. They're going to give me diuretics and Lasix. Guess what? I take diuretics and I take Lasix on a daily, pills at home. I said, so you're going to put me in the hospital just to give me more diuretics and more Lasix? They're like, yes. I said, so you're going to lock me up in the hospital for no reason. Essentially. Yes. Why? To get this. To just keep me trapped in a hospital for no reason. There's no reason for me to be in a hospital. There's all you need to do is fucking take out the fucking fluid and send me on my merry way. There's no reason for me to be in a hospital except for you to make money. It's just... There are like 40 other things that I could have stemmed off on. Oh. Well, it's the last hospital visit. I don't know if this all should be one episode. I can't go this long without updating you guys because there gets too much information involved. Anyways, so yeah, that's why I'm on my little rant and fucking raving today. I'm going to explain to you about my blood work. That's how I wanted to wrap this up. And then I'm going to tell you the funny story. All right, so I'm going to try and explain this as in English terms as possible for someone who doesn't know anything about liver cirrhosis. When you have liver cirrhosis, you look at your bilirubin. Your bilirubin, when it's elevated, that's what causes the jaundice and the yellow skin and the yellow eyes and all of that stuff. So your bilirubin, a normal person, is anywhere from between like 0 to like a 1.2 is like your number for like a normal bilirubin. I've always had high bilirubin. Like in the 2s and 3s and 4s, like I've always teeter tottered there. I was born with Gilbert syndrome, which you're just prone to having a higher bilirubin. I was born jaundiced, lived in a little box. It just, and from being 300 pounds my whole life, I had the fatty liver. So I was always prone to having a higher bilirubin. They were always like, oh, your bilirubin's a little high. I'm like, I know my bilirubin's always high. I never really understood what it meant until now, but my bilirubin has always been high. I've heard that my whole life. Once you start getting into certain levels, you know, is when they get concerned. So if you're pushing, you know, double digits on a fucking bilirubin, they're like, you're full-blown fucking jaundice. Like, they're, you know, chop her liver out now, give her a new one, stat. So I was at, this was back in like December when all of the madness started. I was at a 14.9. Okay, my bilirubin was a 14.9. That is a lot. Like, that's like, oh, we're fucking danger. Like, they're concerned anywhere above like a fucking 5. They're like, that's like danger territory. I was at a 14.9. That's why my eyes were bright yellow. My skin was turning yellow. Like, it was just, it was out of control. So that's where it was. And I was slowly starting to bring it down. In 6 months, my bilirubin is now at a 5.1. It is the lowest it has been in I don't know how long. Like, it's just, like I said, it's all me. It's not the water pills they're giving me. Okay, I am a holistic medicine, you know, believer to the millionth degree. Okay, I'm all about natural fucking remedies, herbs, the foods you're eating, the things you're drinking. It's my blood work speaks for itself. Okay, I'm at a 5.1 on bilirubin. So then you have this thing called a MELD score. It's your score. It's a score on how sick you are and like how soon you need a liver transplant. So it goes from 0 to 40. 40 is like, okay, you needed a liver yesterday. So when they first diagnosed me with like the fatty liver shit, I was around like a 2, 3, and they weren't concerned. Even at like an 8, my doctor was like, yeah, whatever, you're fine, you're young, it'll go back down, whatever. Then it slowly started to creep up. Around 15 to 18 area, they start talking about listing you for a transplant. Oh, I can't, camera. It's around like the 15, 18-ish, they start looking to list you for a transplant. My MELD score was a 30 fucking one out of 40. Okay. They were like, you need a new liver. They're like, that's end of story. You need a new liver. Your bilirubin is 14.9. Your MELD score is 31. You need a new liver. End of story. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. And I told them, I'm going to fix this. They're like, you need a new liver. And I said, no, I don't. 6 months later, my MELD score is now at a 21 and my bilirubin's a 5.1. So, and I'm not confused and have all my brain cells. And my skin is back to normal and my eyes are back to normal. And who's the patient that's not on any of the medication? Just saying. So, yeah, the doctors are a little like, oh, okay. Still, they want to give me a liver transplant because they want $1 million, but give it another 6 months. My father told me, 33. Okay, he's been telling me for, if you don't know, my dad's dead. Okay, Big Mike, he talks to me. You know, I talk to the spirits. He's been telling me, 33, I have it tattooed right here. 33, 33, 33, you'll have it all figured out. I never knew what the it was. He's like, you'll figure it out at 33. 33, you'll figure it out, you'll figure it out, you'll figure it out. And he sent me messages through Reiki before about my stomach area. And he kept, like, pointing at the stomach area and, like, kept leading her, like, towards the stomach area and, like, showing, like, yellow on the stomach and me not being able to control it. And 33, and the 33, she'll figure it out. And it's exactly what he said. I wish I would have understood what it meant sooner before we got to this, but I mean, I wish he would have been a little more clear with his message sooner so I didn't have to figure it out after the fact, but the yellowing and the stomach and the fact that I can't fucking control this fucking bloating right now, and 33, this is the it that I'm going to figure out. 6 more months. December is my 33rd birthday. In 6 months, I will have all of this back under control and my levels will be back to normal and there will be no more talk of a fucking liver transplant. Okay? You all mark my fucking words. I will see you back here on this couch fucking on my 33rd birthday and I will tell you that. If we can get it done sooner, that'd be great. But December 14th, see you back here. Enough of that ranting and raving. Let's tell a little fun story to wrap up this episode because I've been waiting to tell you guys this story. It's supposed to be part of another episode, but we need some comic relief. So this was one of my trips to, I was in the hospital in the city. And so there's a room and there's three of us in the room, which the room was way too fucking small for three of us to be in a room, but whatever. So I had the bigger part of the room because I was, you know, I'm mobile and I'm young and I'm up and down. And, you know, they were just giving me Lasix to make me pee out fluid. That's the only reason I was in the hospital. It was literally to give me Lasix more than I take at home. So when you put the Lasix in the IV, it works better and quicker than taking it orally. So they were just fucking shooting me up with Lasix so that way I could pee out the fluid. So that's the only reason I was there. You know, I wasn't sick. I wasn't anything. They were just putting this Lasix in me. So I was going stir crazy. And so now the other two women that were in the room with me, one was, this is the one where she asked me how I knew about all this stuff. So one of them, she was an older lady, like she couldn't walk. She was stayed in the bed. Like, you know, she was like half blind. She didn't really know what was going on. She didn't leave her bed. She just sat there. She stayed in her little cubby and like that was it. And then, so now they bring in another one and she was probably in her like 70s, I want to say. And so they put her in the corner. And so I'm on the side with the bathroom. And So she's in her little corner and she was going for a colonoscopy. And so they were giving her the medicine that you drink to, you know, clean everything out. So when you get that, they give you that little portable toilet that goes like right next to your bed in case, you know, you gotta go real quick. You just jump on the little toilet, you call the nurse, they come and they clean it and then they help you get back in the bed. So, you know, cause that's just stuff just comes out. So she's got her little toilet right next to our bed. So I am in the bathroom constantly because I'm peeing every 4 seconds with this Lasix. So I'm just like hanging out. I set up my whole fucking room. I'm painting, whatever. It's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning because those are the Lexi hours. And all of a sudden, there's just this smell that takes over the room. And I'm like, I've been in the rooms with the patients with the bedpans always. And, you know, it's not pleasant, but this was 10 times worse. And I'm like, all right, this is not just like a little, this is something, a volcano is erupting. What the fuck is going on? And you just, the whole room, the smell took over. And then you hear her going, fucking, oh my God, just mumbling and cursing. Then you see her come, I say running. She wasn't running because she was in no shape to be running, but moving as quickly as this lady could move. She's throwing blankets off, fumbling out of the bed, and she is running across the room. Okay, so across, out of her little fucking curtain, across my bed, and shitting. Just the shit is coming out of her as she's running across the room, all over the floor in front of my bed. Okay, as she's running, she's taking all of her gown off. Okay, so she's taking her gown off, and the shit's on the gown, and then she's stepping on it, and it's on the floor, and it's on her socks, and then she's in the bathroom, and now it's all over the floor, and it's all over the toilet, because she can't stop it, and it's, like, all over the bathrooms, and the nurse comes running in, because she's screaming her head off, and so now you just, all of this happened so quickly, I didn't know what to do, and I was just like, now, this woman, okay, and one was a much larger lady, okay, starts stripping in the middle of the fucking room, everything, underwear off, bra off, fucking clothes, and she takes off down the hallway, like takes off like a bandit. I don't even know how she moved that quick, running, screaming for a shower. I need a shower. So you just looked up and her just ass cheeks and the tits were just like flopping in the breeze, and she was just running down the hallway through the hospital, and the nurse was fucking chasing her because she was just running through the hallway naked, shitting, looking for a fucking shower. And I'm in the bed, just, I don't even know what's happening. I'm like, and then the poor little lady that's in the corner was blind. She's like, is everything okay out there? And I'm like, no, it's really not. I was like, you're lucky you're blind right now. I'm like, just go to bed. Go back to bed. Take a melatonin or something. All of this happened in like a blink of an eye. I don't even know. So now I don't even know what to do. So I'm left in the room just covered in shit because the nurse took off down the hallway to chase the lady. So now I'm pushing the button to call somebody else in. And I'm like, guys, and they walk in and they're like, what the fuck went on in here? I was like, there's a volcano erupted. I don't really know. You need to take kids. I'm like, somebody's got to clean this before I start throwing up. Like, this is so bad. So I'm like hiding under my fucking t-shirt and I've got the fucking Febreze and I'm like, I'm like shooting the fucking thing like a machine gun back and forth. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. So bad. And so now they had to go and they had to get the cleaning crew to come in. And they're not. And I had to get up to pee. And I'm like, I can't get up because there's a fucking shit lava moat across my whole room. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. So bad. Just so bad. This shit only happens to me. Just so. Eventually, they get. So now I'm trying not to piss myself to add that to the mix. But I gotta go to the bathroom so bad. And if you've never taken Lasix before, it's like when you pee, you gotta pee. Like it's just, it comes out of you like a waterfall. So I'm like, oh my God. So now they come and they clean, and I don't think that they cleaned enough, because I saw the amount of feces that was dispelled from this woman, and I am disgusted. I'm like, I can't use that bathroom. I go, guys, you gotta give me, I have to use somebody else's bathroom. I cannot bring myself to use this bathroom until it's embalmed. I can't do it. So I was using the hallway bathroom that was the nurse's bathroom, because I could not do it. Like, I just couldn't do it. I'm like, I can't. And then the motherfuckers take all the soiled linen and put it in the soiled linen container, the hamper, and they never take the hamper out of the room. So now I come back from the bathroom and I'm like, why is it still smelling here? And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, they changed her bed. She's like, why does it still smell? Motherfuckers put it in the soiled linen hamper and then put it next to my bed. So now I go back outside and I go, hi, excuse me, somebody's crap is still in my room. I need it removed. Oh, it was so bad. It was just so bad. And I'm texting my mother and I go, you have no idea. Because my mom, she left at like 10, 11 o'clock. You have no idea what you just missed. I was like, it's just. So now they cleaned her. They got her a shower, they got her new clothes, they put her back in the bed. And they're like, can you please use the porta potty? Like, please, like, they're like, would you like a bedpan? I ain't using a bedpan. You're not using a bedpan? So put shitting all over the hospital is better. Just naked and shitting. I can't. Literally. Running down the hallway, butt ass naked. Just shitting. You cannot make this shit up. This is my life. Anyways, so that's all my little rant episode. I guess this is like, I don't fucking know. I don't even know what just went on. But the next episode, I'm going to talk about my last hospital visit. I'm going to tell you all about my teeth situation. And I really want to get into hospital food. But that might be a whole episode 5 on its own, because I want to maybe put up a poll and get some info from you guys. Oh, and I wanted to look, because a bunch of you sent me stories to read. It's just, I'm sorry. I'm going to get to I have submissions for stories that people want me to touch on, but I had to play catch up for the last 2 weeks. Once I get all caught up and we're back in our you know what the fuck I mean. I also have to fucking go back to cooking. Like, I have half-ass stuffed peppers in my kitchen right now. So, anyways, I will leave you on that shitty note. I can't. So that's episode 3 of The Witch Bitch is Sick. Oh, do all the things. The subscribe, the like, the comment, the share, the download. If you're listening on, you know. Just do all the things. Okay? And come back for an update on my whole tooth debacle. It just never ends. Is there anything else I want to say? She don't know. All right. Thanks for listening to me rant. I forgot I had one more thing I wanted to add to this episode. So I was talking to, she's a hospice nurse. And, you know, so I was, you know, we were bullshitting about, she comes to the bar all the time. So I was bullshitting with her about, you know, all of my hospital crap. And she had a liver patient who was on all of these fucking meds, and she weaned him off all of them. And now he's better. Like, literally, you know, was like on his deathbed, and she took him off all the medication, and now he's doing better. And this is where my mic died, and I had no idea, and I kept rambling for another few minutes, but that's it. So I'll see you for episode 4. Bye, bitches.